Good morning. I am Levi, son of Alphaeus. You may know me better as Matthew. Matthew is a name that actually that Jesus gave to me. And in a way, it's kind of an ironic name for me to have because Matthew means gift of God. And that's something which is so contrary to my life before Jesus. Let me tell you just a little bit about myself. I'm a highly educated person among the people of my time. Also, a very wealthy man, or at least had been a very wealthy man. I had opportunities to learn and to grow and to understand things far beyond a lot of people because of the job I had, because of our family. I've been very able to learn languages. I'm fluent in our native Aramean dialect of Hebrew. I'm fluent in Greek. I can speak with anybody who travels along the roads, which is really a good thing because my job had been to have a customs booth along the road near Capernaum where I lived. That made me, as I said, a very wealthy man. I have probably one of the nicest houses in town, lots of different opportunities. And a customs booth was kind of a cushy sort of job as a tax collector. You need to understand, you know, it's kind of like a toll booth that you might find along the highways, but it was better than that. Because as people traveled along the road, I could tax them on anything I felt like taxing. I could tax their animals. I could tax the carts that they used to carry goods along the road. I could tax them for all the goods that they were carrying from one town to another. And that highway along by Capernaum was kind of that middle route between Egypt and Babylon, and there was always traffic going back and forth, and I could set taxes at any level I wanted. And because the people feared the Roman government, which had control of our country, they always paid me whatever I asked. Not bad, huh? Actually, very bad. Because the people all hated me. And as years went by, I began to despise my own self. Until that day that Jesus came and changed my life story. As I mentioned earlier, we're starting a new series of messages today, which is about life stories. We're going to be looking at life stories where characters in the Gospels, but people who met Jesus. And when they met Jesus, things in life changed dramatically for them. So today we're looking at the story of Matthew, and we're going to look into the word as well and read what it actually says about Matthew, both from his own gospel in Matthew chapter 9, but then also turning to Luke chapter 5. What we find is that when Jesus called Matthew, he took a man who felt worthless, a man who felt broken and defeated, and brought redemption and new meaning and new purpose into his life. And as we consider his story today, it is our prayer that that may be true for us as well, that out of any brokenness we feel in our lives, that when we meet Jesus, he gives new purpose and he gives great value to us. We are redeemed in Jesus Christ. So join with me in following in God's word as we read Matthew's story. Matthew 9, beginning at verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn from what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And then turning to Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 27, really the same story, but just hear it once again. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So I want to begin this morning by thinking about how others would have looked at Matthew as they met him in their life. And we would look at Matthew chapter 9 to begin that thought on that. In verse 11, we see the question there that the Pharisees asked Jesus, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" I want you to notice that a lot of times in the New Testament, when we read about tax collectors, they get grouped together in this thing of "and sinners," because they're part of that group and people's observation. So we recognize that Matthew was a tax collector. That meant that he was employed by the Roman government. Now, that causes a couple of problems for us as we look at that. How many of you, let's just check here, voting today, how many of you enjoy paying taxes? Okay, a couple of you do. All right. Everybody else is going, "Really?" And the reality is, you know, there are some of us who have jobs or have worked in jobs where we benefit from taxes, and so we see the need for that. But most of us aren't real happy about taxation, and taxation continues to seem to take larger and larger pieces of the pie in our income, and so we get a little anxious about that at times. But this was a little more complicated yet than simply receiving taxes. And I'll use an illustration from our own country back in the 1700s to try to help you see what that's all about. When the colonies were founded here in North America, a lot of the colonies began to levy some sort of tax on the people in the communities because they said, "We have services that we want to help provide as a community." And so, you know, if you were going to have a group who would be able to have equipment to fight fires or whatever it might be, you needed to have some taxes. But on top of that, those colonies struggled with the fact that they were being taxed by England. And These taxes were such things as the tea tax. You all have heard in your history lessons about the Boston Tea Party and all of that. Well, the British government was continuing to levy taxes on a lot of things that were traded into and out of North America in order to support their army, in order to support the cities in Great Britain, in order to keep resources flowing into that country as well. And the people in what was to become the United States just said, you know, we don't want that money going over there. If we're going to be taxed, we want that spent here, not for some other country. And so they rebelled. We call that the Revolutionary War. And thousands of people gave their lives in the cause of fighting that battle. So you see, there was a different feeling about tax money that was going elsewhere. And that's what we need to see in relation to Matthew and the taxes that he would collect. This was not all for local causes. This was going back to Rome. It was to support the Roman government, which in many ways they didn't like at all because the Romans had taken over their land and were oppressing them, and they didn't like that. And now they're being taxed to support that Roman government. And as if that wasn't enough, what we read in the scriptures and in other documents of that time is that we learn that a lot of these tax collectors took great liberties with this. It seems like the Romans kind of said, you know, collect as much tax as you want. Here's what we want. If you can get more than that, you can pad your wallet with that. That's fine. And so the tax collectors were renowned for this. They were thieves, in a sense, taking more than they were even supposed to get in order that they might become very wealthy people. I mean, this was a really good gig for them. It was a way of becoming wealthy and settled in the community. And if that wasn't enough, here's one more thing. Matthew, or Levi, being one of those tax collectors, being a Jewish person, now had to interact on maybe almost a daily basis with some of these Gentile people, some of the non-Jews, which meant that according to the law in the Old Testament, that he became ceremonially unclean because of his contact with those people. Can you understand why people despise these tax collectors? Why Matthew would not be a loved person in the community, but that Matthew would be seen as a traitor, as an enemy in a sense, and that people would hate him. So that's how other people viewed him. How do you suppose Matthew viewed himself? Let's ask that question. As we look at the scripture, we're going to see that he was a wealthy man. And he may have said, I've been very successful, very prosperous man. Things are going well for me. If you look at Matthew 5:29, which is why I read the second account of this as well, you're going to see there that in that passage, it says that Matthew decided to throw a great banquet for Jesus. And he invited all of his tax collector friends and a lot of other people of the community and said, come and celebrate with me. And so he brought Jesus in and the disciples. And you know, you think about that. How many of you could afford just to say, everybody come for dinner today? You good with that? What's that?
Maybe pull it off once.
Once? Okay, maybe once. Okay. Well, Matthew could open a great room in his house where he could have this banquet and could invite lots of people and just, on the spur of the moment, have this banquet. I mean, it gives some indication of the kind of man he was, the kind of resources he had available, that he could do this sort of thing. So Matthew was a very wealthy man. Somebody of whom we might, in our own day, become a little envious. I mean, he'd probably fall into the category of having a house on the lake that was valued at several million dollars. He'd probably, in our day, be one of those people who had one of those at least three or four car garages, each with a brand new vehicle sitting nestled in those nice places and always clean and always well kept. And he could go on bragging about all the things he had. And you and I all know that having lots of money and lots of things always makes us happy, right? I'm glad we got that kind of reaction, because that isn't true, is it? And in fact, I would begin to suggest today that Matthew was not at all a happy person. And I get a sense of that by reading this passage. And I read here in Luke that when Jesus came along and said, "Follow me," Luke writes, "He got up, left everything, and followed him." Now, here's the thing. If you're feeling satisfied with your life, if you're happy with where you are in life, you don't just up and leave it all behind, do you? Especially when you've got a lot of stuff. It's not often that people just say, "Okay, I'm done with that," and leave it behind. But this is what Matthew did that day when Jesus came. He said, "I'm not happy with where I am, but Jesus came and has offered me something entirely different." So he closed his tax books. He closed his tax booth. He walked away from his house and everything that he had, and he followed Jesus. This is a story of incredible transformation, a story of an amazing change in this man's life. But it also rings a couple other connections in the Bible for me. I looked around a little bit, and in Ecclesiastes, King Solomon wrote that after, you know, with all of his great wealth and everything, after trying this and that and everything else, he said, "I found that everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." Or you could also turn to Philippians chapter 3, 7 to 8, where Paul writes, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage." And then I could also add what Paul wrote in Romans 6, 21. "What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things lead to death." And so for Matthew, an encounter with Jesus was changing everything for him. It was giving him a whole new perspective on life. It was telling him that all these things that he had once valued, that he thought, "This is my way to get ahead," were now useless. And he had been feeling that in his life. He was not feeling good about where he was. And he was willing to leave it all behind. But I want to make this important step, this observation, the lesson, that he not only shut down his tax booth, but that more importantly, he followed Jesus. And this is the big thing for us to recognize in this passage today, that he followed Jesus. And this meant some very significant changes in his life. The first thing is that he did invite Jesus to come into his home. I believe on that day he also invited Jesus to come into his heart, to be Lord of everything in his life. He wanted this to be his new direction, his new meaning in life, that Jesus would mean everything to him. And all that other stuff that he used to have, which was coming to a place of meaning nothing to him, now literally meant nothing. He wanted nothing but Jesus. We sometimes see that happening in our lives, that when we get all wrapped up in things about ourselves, when we put ourselves in the center of things, it gets a little bit out of perspective at times. And we lose that sense of purpose in life. We lose that sense of doing something that's really relevant, something that's real, something that is eternal. And when we come back to this place of saying, "Jesus, be Lord of my heart, Jesus, be Lord of my home," it changes everything for us. And so Matthew would not be embarrassed to have Jesus come to his home. And Matthew would not be embarrassed to have other people see Jesus in his home, because this is now what mattered to him. I think about that for us today, because this is one step of what Matthew did, which we can all do in our lives. We can say, "I don't need that other stuff. What I need is Jesus. I need Jesus to be Lord of my heart. I need Jesus to be Lord of my home. I need him to be the center of everything for me." A second thing about Matthew is that it changed his lifestyle. As we think about our culture and what it is to live in our world today, pretty much everything tells us that we need to succeed, right? You're a high school student, they're telling you need to get a good job, you need to make a good living. And they begin to set levels for us and say, you know, you almost get this feeling if you're not making a certain amount of money in this world today, you have not really succeeded. You hear that kind of stuff. It's all about success, about having this perspective of getting ahead and hopefully getting ahead of everybody else in the process. But this is not a happy way to live. If you're driven by success and driven by gaining wealth, it's not a good place to be. And Matthew began to recognize that. I think he had been doubting that that was the way for him before he met Jesus. And when he met Jesus, Jesus said, I have something entirely new for you. A new way to look at life, a new purpose in life. And so Matthew could begin to live into that, in that new relationship. And so we see that he would change his lifestyle. He would move on from all of that. And interestingly, if you read the passage carefully, you recognize that Matthew actually had begun to be an evangelist on that very day. Because who did he invite for supper at his house along with Jesus that night? Tax collectors and sinners. And I think that may have been one of the most concentrated audiences of, quote unquote, that kind of people that Jesus ever had. All because Matthew said, this is good and we need to change. So Matthew is changing his focus. For him, it also meant a change of vocation. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But I just want to step into that a little bit in terms of seeing a new sense of purpose for him. He recognized that what he had been doing had not been giving glory to God and hadn't really been blessing people around him. And he's thinking, that all needs to change. And so we find that he goes on to become one of the speakers for Jesus Christ. Church history, we've been studying through some of these New Testament books in our Bible study on Wednesday morning. We noted that it talks about Peter, it talks about some of the deacons, Philip and Stephen, it talks about Paul and Barnabas and Silas and so on, and the rest of the disciples just sort of disappear from the story. So what happened to them, and what were they doing all this time? Church tradition tells us that Matthew did become a great teacher in the early church as well, that he was known to have taught in many different places in Judea, that he probably went down into Africa and taught in Ethiopia and in several other countries. And so Matthew became a teacher of the word of Jesus Christ as he continued in his life. We do know that he took some of his skills to write as well, because the Gospel of Matthew is not just named after him. This is something which he wrote. And he was capable of doing that, so he used the gifts that he had and the abilities that he had to further the kingdom of the Lord. So we find this about him, and we see that he is saying, I'm leaving that in order to do this. And for him, it meant a change of jobs. But that was his case. That's not true for all of us. I would say in some ways it was my case as well. If you talked to me when I was about halfway through high school, what do you think my vocational plan would have been? Any guesses?
Basketball player.
Not a basketball player, for sure. And actually not a carpenter either. But close to that, I was going to be an architect. And I was very good at drawing. I got awards already as a freshman in high school for some of the drawings that I'd made. And that would have been my anticipation, that I'd be an architect, drawing houses and maybe even bigger and grander things. And then I learned that God had a different plan for me. And so I studied to enter into ministry. And about 11 years ago, I went through a crisis of vocation as well. At that time, I questioned, should I leave ministry? Should I go do something else? And God made it pretty clear to me at that time as well that I was not to leave ministry, that he had other doors that he would open there for me. So that was my case as well. But what I want to say to you is, If you are not happy with where you are in life right now, it may be that you need to meet Jesus as well, like Matthew did, and ask, "So, Lord, what do I need to leave, and where will you lead me that I might follow you?" And some of you may say, "Well, you know, I am actually very pleased with where I am. The job I have, the vocation that I have is bringing glory to God and is blessing people around me." And for you, I want to encourage you in that and say, then go for it with all the drive and determination that you can muster to say, "I want to glorify God where he has planted me." But if that's not true, then it may be a good time for you to hear what Matthew heard where Jesus said, "Follow me." Now, that can be a scary thing to do, to change vocations as you're an adult, to go on for more study or whatever it might be. But here's the thing. You and I want to be in the place where we can best do what God has put us in this world to do. Matthew, having been a tax collector, had lost his sense of purpose. He thought it was all about getting rich and getting a nice house and all those kinds of things. But he learned that that was becoming useless and meaningless to him. And what he needed to do was to follow Jesus where Jesus would lead. Again, for him, it meant that he would become an evangelist, that he would become a gospel writer. It meant eventually that he would lose his life for following Jesus Christ. But for us today, we need to listen to the word of the Lord. And the Lord says, "Follow me." And it may be to pursue what you are doing right now with so much more energy and excitement that you had been because you are affirmed in what Jesus has already given you to do. Or maybe it's time to ask, "So Lord, what do I need to do that will bring glory to you and blessing to people around me?" So it leaves us with a really big question. But I want to close that thought today with just this thought, where Jesus says in the end of the passage, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And so here's the good news for us today, that Jesus came into this world to find those who were sinners. He came looking for Matthew. He came looking for me. He comes looking for you. And he simply says to us, "Follow me." And I think about this. I was blessed by reading this about the name Matthew, that tradition says that probably Jesus gave him that name. And I think about who Matthew was, the tax collector, the hated man, the one that everybody despised. And Jesus gave him this name that said, "You are a gift of God." And friends, that's what I want for you today as well. That you in your own way would recognize that God says to you, "You are my gift to where you are in the world. Now go and bring glory to me and bless people around you. Because brothers and sisters, we have been redeemed." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the story of a man like Matthew, a story which tells how his life was entirely changed by an encounter with Jesus Christ. And we're praying that that may be true for us as well, that we are people who can recognize that you are a God who changes everything. May Jesus come into our lives today. May we hear his words, "Follow me." And may we leave what we need to leave and press on to where we need to be, that you, God, may be glorified in our lives and that our lives may be lived to bless others. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.